Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 25th of January, recording at 7:17 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights on what's a bit of a pivotal day in here. Stock markets. Despite Wall Street's strong performance and some good openings in Asia, most markets closed down on the day. Not significantly, but there were some warning shots, such as a key day reversal in the Singapore Straits Times Index. We also saw small keys in the Nikkei 225 and also in the Japanese Topics Index. And meanwhile, some other trends, such as the Philippines, have continued to accelerate upwards. But some of those that had accelerated upwards are getting significant shakeouts, such as Vietnam. Okay, government bonds, they're weak today, pretty well across the boards. And UK gilts, for instance, these are futures, extending their downward trend. And in crude oil, that had been as high as $55.90, but it's now down $1.12 as I speak at $54.25. Natural gas is down quite a bit, 544 points. Here, it's quite this very sharp reaction. Excuse me, taking it back to 6.87 on the February contract. Currencies, we have the dollar, which has been fluctuating a little up and a little down. It's mixed. It seems to be just about flat in here today. It was easier, slightly easier, a little bit earlier on. And the Nikkei, the yen also rallied a bit further today, but I see notice that's giving some of that up at the moment. Now, I didn't do justice to that stock market review. Wall Street's quite soft, reversing yesterday's gains, and the European markets were all down in here today, although not heavily. Precious metals had very strong earlier action. Some of that's been pegged back. It's been pegged back quite a bit with as far as gold's concerned, because gold rather disappointingly broke above that 654, beg your pardon, that 650 level. Let me start again. Gold broke above that 650 level but couldn't hold it. Currently at 647.80, down a dollar. Silver, platinum, and palladium have quite reasonable gains that they're holding on to at the moment, although off the highs in all instances. And industrial metals all up on the day, except for, I think it was aluminium had a small decline. Okay, well, what do we make of all this? Well, first, I've written a piece on the website just saying that the risks of a somewhat bigger reaction in these stock markets are rising. And I've talked about the extent to which a lot of stock market indices, most stock market indices, certainly the ones that have performed, have rallied well above their long-term 200-day moving averages. And so they are susceptible to some mean reversion in terms of coming back to those moving averages, but I don't need to repeat all that. But it's not a bad idea to go in and click on the 200-day moving average function in your chart library and have a look through those markets that are of particular interest to you. So, seeing Asia softness, seeing those keys, seeing Wall Street retrace its quite good gains that we saw last night and a bit more. The Dow's down 110 as I speak. That's only 0.87 of a percent. But again, it has as they erase yesterday's gains, and it looks like we might be getting an upside failure on the S&P and the Dow. A lot depends on where these markets close tonight, and they've got almost 2 hours to go, or over an hour and a half to go. But a weak close here from Wall Street would suggest to me that we were spilling over into a somewhat bigger reaction. I still don't think that we're likely to see anything anywhere near as big, let alone sharp, as what actually occurred in May. But that's conjecture on my part, and it's based mainly on the fact that I don't see a catalyst. I think we had quite a clear catalyst back in May when the Fed was getting very aggressive on inflation, and central banks and many central banks were raising interest rates. Well, we've had a little bit of a concern over overheating in China and following the strong economic news, and that is of some concern. So people might say, well, isn't that similar? We're getting a bit of a replay of the interest rate scenario. Not to anywhere near the same degree, in my view. But if we take the action that we saw in the Far East today, again, China came out with that stronger than expected GDP growth. It was only by two ticks. I think they were looking for expansion in the fourth quarter of 10.2 on average, and it was 10.4. So it's not a big difference, but we're talking about sentiment here in markets. And so strong China, the market went down, and with a knock-on effect throughout much of Asia. Here today in the US, in the seeming paradox, we had softer economic data, and the market's gone down, and people are citing that as a reason. So you net that out, and a strong market rises on good and bad news. A market that's vulnerable will fall on good and bad news because people are nervous. And that seems to be the case. My emails have reflected that, or continue to reflect that, and we know that a lot of people have been making bearish forecasts. So it looks to me like the in terms of the reaction, the environment that I've been talking about, where we would see more reactions and ranging, that I think we will see a continuation of that, and that some of those reactions will be larger than we have seen recently, particularly where markets have accelerated a long way on the upside. I'm a little annoyed with myself that I didn't cut my Nikkei stock average. Nikkei stock average long this morning, and I was rash, as I said was possibly the case at the time, in taking out that long again in the H shares. So I'll probably get stopped out around break even on my Japan position and lose a bit, give up a little bit of profit on that other position. A lot of people have asked about hedge shorting and so on. I haven't done this yet, but I might be tempted to. I would like to see a little more evidence, technical evidence here. And again, as I've already mentioned, I don't see a clear catalyst for a somewhat bigger correction, but these things can happen. They don't always need a reason. Just general nervousness can be enough if a number of people run for the exit at the same time. Okay, as far as my long-term investment positions are concerned, I have no intention of chopping back on those. It's just trading positions overall. All right, moving on to the government bonds. This weakness seems to be partially, at least, reflect fear of inflation pressures. We have had the strong metals recently, and we also have had the strong GDP figures that I mentioned earlier from China, but government bonds are always the canary in the coal field, as far as in the coal field, as far as stock markets are concerned, and the bond markets have been moving in a way that suggests problems at some point. I don't think we're quite there yet, at least in terms of any sort of serious problem. And you look at the JGBs, they're really very, very firm. So just to try to put this in perspective, and I know that it's very easy to mislead or for people not to hear the exact nuance and hear exactly what I'm trying to say. I think the risk right now is of a bigger reaction than we've seen in the last few months. But I personally would be very surprised if we saw anything on the scale of what took place last May and June. Okay. Now, moving on to the dollar. Well, that's pretty quiet here overall. What's quite clear, and we've seen demonstrated yet again, is that no government wants a strong currency. So we get that strong Australian dollar running back up to its range highs against the US dollar, and we get some fairly aggressive comments coming out, jawboning to knock it back down. Again, the same thing has happened, or happened not too long ago with the euro. It's really only been the UK that hasn't made similar noises, and that's one reason for the quite strong relative performance that we've seen from sterling recently. So I think overall we're going to see much more ranging in currencies than anything else. But there has certainly been strength in stock markets recently. I beg your pardon. There has been strength in stock markets recently, and up until the last few days. But I was moving on to precious metals now, and they have certainly been strong. And I think that increasingly investors are viewing these as viable stores of money. But if we get a sharp correction in stock markets, if we get it, that would probably cause a little bit of turbulence in just about anything else as well. Really, but the way I'm going to play these precious metals is that the patterns are quite good. I'm using trailing stops, and I've got just about all my positions covered right now. And I expect a bit of volatility, but these remain in long-term secular bull markets. Grains and beans. I think the risk is that they just range around for a while and don't do anything significant during this rather quiet period before the US crop cycle gets underway with the starting first with the plowing and sowing season. And I think that's pretty much it. Again, a quick review. A weak close on Wall Street, and I would quantify that as down over 100 points on the Dow, 30 on the NASDAQ composite, 14, 15 points or more on the S&P, and I think that will create a little bit of knock-on effect. But and what Asia does tomorrow may well be important, because Asia has seen the really strong performance. So if I'm being too cautious in here, and others are being too cautious in Europe and the US today, and if we see China rebound tomorrow, if we see Japan move upwards instead of following through on the downside after those small keys, if we see resilience in Asia, then I think everything will calm down and so on. But if we get follow through weakness in Asia tomorrow, I think that we'll see a little bit more of a selling squall generally, and that would be almost certainly extended to next week. Okay, I'll post this quickly. All the best.